Be seated. You may be seated. Last year this time, we were supposed to have a fellow by the name of Tom Sexton to preach for us, I think it was.
Yeah.
And and we had it all lined up, and then he called me up about 2 months ahead of time or something, and says, I'm going to have my knee replaced. And he said, I don't want to be limping around and making a mess. I said, you just come, we'll put you in a chair and let you preach from there. That'd be all right. Well, I said, all right, well, then we'll do that. So we had it all lined up, and he was doing well. And then they thought he had a blood clot, I think it was, and they said, wouldn't let him fly. And so I think it was Thursday, would have been this past Thursday. He calls up and said, you won't believe this. I'm not going to be able to come. They won't let me fly. And I don't know why I didn't drive, but that's for Florida. But anyway, it turned out he couldn't come. That Brother Tool down here in Baltimore came up and did a great job for us. We appreciate Brother Tom. Now, you won't believe this. I'm going to steal his thunder here, but last week he fell off a ladder and hurt his knee. And he says he's laying there thinking, no. But it all popped back in place, and here he is. He's doing fine, so I'm glad he's here. I've known Brother Sexton for a good while now. I don't know, it's been, I don't know, 20, 25 years, something like
that. Yes.
And always a blessing, always an encouragement. I appreciate that. He pastors Gulf Coast Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. And he's brothers with, I'm not going to say he's the brother or other brother of Clarence Sexton of Crown College. And they're brothers, and they're so different. They're both good men of God. I appreciate them, but they're so different. And I just appreciate him being here this morning. And I hope you'll make him welcome. And we're going to get him on here and let him share what the Lord's got on his heart for us this morning. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you. Hey, I love you, Pastor. Thank the Lord for it. This is a great church. I love it. And I talk a little bit so you get used to me. I was born in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. How many know where that is? Good, good. You don't need to go there. Just need to know where it is. And I grew up in Maryville, Tennessee. Maryville, if you live there. Maryville, if you didn't live there. And after my father died, I went to Florida. My mother moved me there when I was a senior in high school. Can you imagine that? All the little girls in Tennessee were heartbroken. I went to Florida and went to a school, Cypress Lake High School. Didn't like it at all. But around the second week of school, I met this pretty little girl from Queens, New York. Oh, yes. And so after school, I convinced her to marry me. Can you believe it? And she did. And God bless her. I got a wonderful wife. And we got saved after that. Now, that's not the way to do it, but thank the Lord, it worked out for me. And we got two children, five grandchildren. God's been good. But I'm glad to be here. Last year, I was so excited about coming, and I didn't tell you how I hurt my knee. I hurt my knee during a wedding rehearsal. I was actually injured on the job. But you just can't explain that to insurance people, you know. We were having a wedding rehearsal, and but I'm glad to be here today. I'm walking. I'm not quite leaping, but I'm walking. And my wife had a little project for me to do, and I decided to use a ladder. She said, don't get on that ladder. Too late. And so I promised her I'd never get on another ladder with her around. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn to the book of Matthew, chapter number 12. I'm glad to be able to speak in Sunday school. I love young people. Thank God for young people. And we love young people. You know, we started Gulf Coast Baptist Church many years ago. We started in August of 1989. And we had more teenagers in our service than we had adults. And over the years, we've really, really worked hard to encourage young people and teens, and invested much of my life in that. And I heard the teenagers was in here today, and I was going to teach a lesson on, Preacher, I'm single, and it's not looking good. But I thought I'd give them a break. But anyway, I want to share with you one of the truths that God really helped me with. If you have a Bible, I'd like for you to read with me, if you would, please, in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 12. And let's look at verse number 35. The Bible says, A good man out of the good treasures of the heart bringeth forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things. I want you to notice in verse 36. Let's read that together, would you? But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. Father, thank you again for this opportunity to be in Sunday school. And I pray, Lord, that you would help me today to say the things that's pleasing to thee. And Lord Jesus, help me to give these precious folk what you've given me. Open our minds and hearts of understanding. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I will speak this Sunday school hour on this subject, the power of words. The power of words. Now, we heard when we were children that sticks and stones may break our bones, but words can help us, hurt us. How many heard that? Sticks and stones may break our bones, but your words can hurt me. When I was 10 years old, I went home with one of my friends and from school, and we were playing in the living room, and his mother was in the kitchen, and she heard us. And she said, called his name out. His name was Jimmy. She said, Jimmy, is someone with you? He said, yes. And she said, who is it? And he said, Tommy Sexton. There was a pause. And she said, is that Preston Sexton's son? Now, he didn't know. He looked at me. I shook my head, yes. And he said, yes. And she said, tell him to go home and don't you ever bring him in this house again. I stood there, 10 years old. I looked at him. He looked at me. He didn't tell me to go home. I just got up and left. I remember to this day those words. It's not true that sticks and stones may break our bones, but your words don't hurt us. The truth of the matter is, sticks and stones do break our bones, but our words break people's hearts. As a 10-year-old boy, I went home. Now, my father was not a Christian. He was not raised in a Christian home. He had a terrible testimony in our city, was what we would call today a gangster, a racketeer. Now, the good news is he got saved before he died. But when I was a little boy, everybody in our town knew him, and they stayed away from our family and from me and my brother and my two sisters. And I remember that day when that woman said that, that mother said that. I never saw her face, but I put a lot of pictures on her face. You can imagine what a monster I painted her out to be in my mind when I was a kid. But I thought about this verse, when I read this verse, I thought about that story. The Lord Jesus said, but I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. I will speak, as I mentioned this morning, on the power of words. Now the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 17, verse 27. I'd like for you to look at that verse. Turn there if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 27. Proverbs 17, verse 27. The Bible says, he that hath knowledge spareth his words, and a man of understanding is of an excellent spirit. Now, the Bible says the more that we know about God and about words, the more that we spare our words. Words. The Word of God says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So I want you to think about words. Words. And I want you to write down four words today in Sunday school. I want you to write them down. Four words. The Lord Jesus said, "But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." First of all, the Word of God teaches us that our idle words are recorded. God keeps up with them. That's hard to imagine, isn't it? The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 56, verse number 8, that God has a book about our lives. He writes everything down. And the Lord Jesus said that one day we're going to give an account of every idle word that we have spoken. Do you think it would help us to understand that what we say is being recorded? Boy, we live in a day when people bring out the recordings and speeches that people have made in the past, and they play this and say, "Now, do you still believe this? Did you mean this when you said this?" And I'm sure that the people who are listening to what they said years ago wish that their words were never recorded. And they'll even say, "Well, I don't think like that today." It doesn't matter. They still play it over and over and over. Can you imagine that everything that we say, every idle word that we say, God keeps up with? Now, I don't know about you, but I want to know what I'm saying, and I want to know where it's being recorded and who's recording it. When my brother and I were young, we shared the same bedroom. We had twin beds. And when he was 13 years old, he had his first girlfriend. And I had received as a gift a tape recorder. The old tape recorders, you know, that you would hit a button and they'd record and then click, they'd make a loud noise. And so he was on the phone talking to his girlfriend. And I was hiding under the bed recording what he said. I'm not the kind of brother that you would want. And I was getting it all recorded. And then my tape player clicked. And he said, "Hold on a minute." He looked under the bed and saw me. And the race was on. Now, the good news is, he could always beat me up. But the good news is, I could outrun him. God's good, isn't he? To one, he gives this gift. To the other, and so, I had it on tape. Oh, my goodness. I want you to know, he hated that I had it recorded because he knew where I was going with it. Like I said, I wasn't the best brother to have, and I wanted the bedroom all by myself. And so I knew that if I could get this recording to my mother, and my mother raised us, that she would do something to help me out with this, you know. And so can you imagine if we really did understand that everything we say is being recorded? Somewhere they're keeping it. Not only is our words recorded, I want you to write this down. The Bible says that one day our words are going to be reviewed. We're going to play them again. We're going to listen to them. We're going to say it again. Can you imagine what it's like to listen to what you said to someone that was unkind? Can you imagine what it's like to listen to your voice talk about your friend? Now, I don't know about you, but I have a phone that gets me constant trouble, makes pocket calls. How many know what I'm talking about? And my wife will call me. She say, "You've called me 3 times. "I haven't called you." "Yeah, you have." I look at my phone. "Wow, that's a pocket call." "Well, get your pocket to quit calling me." And then once in a while, they don't answer on a pocket call. And our phone is still going, recording what we say. How many have ever got a recording on your voicemail and you knew that the people did not know they had called you? How many of you know that? And how many are the kind of Christian that just goes ahead and deletes it before you hear anything you shouldn't hear? Anybody like that? Or do you listen a little bit and say, what are they saying? They're talking to me, and, you know, and they have no idea that they're being recorded. They have no idea they made this phone call. And listen, these phones that we have today should keep Christians right. Because you never know when your phone is going to be recording and somebody's going to be listening on their voicemail and check it. Now, I remember one of my friends, he said, I have a 12-minute voicemail from you. And it came up 12 minutes. And he said, I wondered, what in the world could you say in 12 minutes to me? And he said, you really didn't mean to call me. And he said, now relax. He said, you didn't say anything you shouldn't say. I said, whew. No. But, you know, we have to be so careful. Because what we say is not just being recorded. But one day, we're going to give an account of this. Do you know we're going to get a glorified body one day? By the way, are you excited about that? I know. I see a few people that ought to be excited about a glorified body. I mean, and I'm going to be looking good that day. But with a glorified body, we have the mind of Christ. We're going to know and understand. We're going to realize something. And we're going to see what our words did. The Bible said, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. Not only is our words recorded and reviewed, but our words are repeated. People repeat what we say. That's amazing, isn't it? But you know, people don't say exactly what we said. I was reading one day and I started laughing. My wife said, what's funny? I said, I can't believe this happened to the Lord and to John. And she said, what? I said, well, you've got to read this. This is crazy. And so I want you to turn, if you would, to John chapter number 21. In John chapter 21, the Lord Jesus is helping Peter get restored back into the fellowship and leadership with the disciples. Now remember, Peter met Christ after the resurrection. The Bible says he was seen, talking about Jesus, was seen of Cephas. That's Peter's name, one-on-one. Peter had a meeting with Christ, and the Lord helped him. By the way, I'm glad that when God helps us with our sin, that it's one-on-one with him, aren't you? And then in this chapter, we have the Lord Jesus asking Peter three times, do you love me? And Peter says each time, you know that I love you. He says, Lord, you know of all things. Thou knowest that I love you. And the Lord Jesus said, then feed my sheep. And then the Lord Jesus says something to Peter that is shocking. He says to Peter, now this is how you're going to die. By the way, aren't you glad that God didn't tell us how we're going to die? And he tells Peter, when you're old, you're going to be led out and you're going to die, be put to death. Now that's what he's saying in verse number 18. And then the Bible says in verse 19, this spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. That's what he said. Now, this is how you're going to glorify God in your death. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Now remember, he said, feed my sheep and follow me. And then Peter thought, he'd like the rest of us, you know. He said, wow, I'm going to die? Thanks for telling me. By the way, if God told me I was going to die and told me I was going to die in a plane, I would have driven up here. Well, I'm glad the Lord doesn't say that, aren't you? But he told Peter. And then Peter turns around to John. And he looks at John and he asks this question. The Bible says, then Peter turning about, verse 20, said, see the disciple whom Jesus loved following. He looks at John, which also leaned on his breast and said, Lord, what is he that... Lord, which betrayeth thee. Peter, seeing him, verse 21, said unto Jesus, Lord, and what shall this man do? If I'm going to die like that, tell me about John. How's he going to die? And the Lord Jesus said in verse 22, look what the Bible says. Jesus said in verse 22, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Jesus said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Now look at verse 23. Then went this saying among the brethren, that that disciple should not die. Is that what Jesus said? No. Now look, the best communicator in the whole world is the Lord Jesus. I mean, who can get truth across better than Christ? And the best people in the whole world are the disciples. So you have the world's greatest communicator and the greatest people. And they had a problem. Now watch. When Jesus left, they didn't say what Jesus said. They said something else. So to me, it was funny because I thought, wow, that happens to me so often. You see, people don't hear what we say. They hear what they're listening for. They're listening for something. And people don't repeat what we say. They repeat what they think we meant. For example, you could be teaching in class and you can say to the students, if you don't bring your homework in, you're not going out for recess tomorrow. And there'll be a student go home and say to the mother, teacher told me I'm not going out for recess. Why? I don't know. She's looking straight at me. But see, they didn't hear the part, if you don't bring your homework. They said, if you don't bring your homework tomorrow, you're not going out for recess. And they go home and say, the teacher said, I'm not going out for recess. Really? Are you sure? I know exactly what she said. I heard it with my own ears. You know what? She don't like me. Really? All right. I'm going to call that teacher. Oh, no. No, I'm calling you. We're not going to have that. No. I'm calling her. I'm tired of this. Miss Smith, why are you picking on Jimmy? What do you mean? He told me what you said. What'd he say? He said you weren't going to let him go out for recess. What? That's not what I said. Well, he said that's what you meant. Wow. Here's what happened to the Lord Jesus. He looks at John and he says these exact words. If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. But the brethren went out and said, Jesus said John's never going to die. Wow. John is never going to die. Now look what John says. Then John says, yet Jesus said not unto him, he shall not die, but if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? He said exact words. Then he said, this is the disciple which testified these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. He says, by the way, before I finish, I got to remind you, I am going to die. Don't believe what you heard. That's not what Jesus said, and that is not what Jesus meant. You see, our words are recorded, our words are reviewed, and our words are repeated. The problem is that when people repeat what we say, they don't repeat exactly what we say. They say what they think we meant. That's terrible, isn't it? I wrote in my Bible, you should give people that love you and want to help you the benefit of the doubt when it comes to any misunderstanding. Yep. Right. You should give people the benefit of the doubt. Yep. Do you know how many times that people have heard something I said that I didn't say and told someone? We had a guy in Chattanooga. And we worked so hard to get him to come on the bus. He's a father. And he rode the bus to Sunday school. And he was sitting in a balcony, in the back of the balcony. And after the service, I saw him outside. And it was a great service. And he was mad. Oh, my goodness, he was mad. And I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I can't believe what he said." I said, "What?" He goes, "You didn't hear what he said to me?" I said, "No." He said, "Make sure he gives." I said, "What?" He said, "Make sure that I gave." I said, "Dr. Robertson said that?" "Yes." "Are you sure?" "Yes." I said, "I was sitting in the service. I never heard it." He goes, "You didn't hear it?" He said, "When those men started coming to get the money, he said, make sure he gives." And what Dr. Robertson said, he had said in that service, "Fellas, make sure everybody has an opportunity to have a part in this offering. In other words, don't rush through the thing." And he was looking up in the balcony. And this guy just knew that he picked him out. And he zeroed in on him. And he heard, "Make sure that man gives." Can you believe that? And no matter what I said, I could not convince him and change his mind. He was so mad. He stayed mad. And I thought, good night. And I said, "Look, Dr. Robertson didn't say that. And I'll tell you something. That's not what he meant. I know what he meant. You don't have to tell me." Can you imagine that? And look, if the disciples have that kind of problem, you think we might have the same problem? Our words are recorded. Our words are reviewed. Our words are repeated. And number four, our words are rewarded. You see, God blesses our words. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." God says, "Let your light." The Bible says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." God's word is His light. God says, "Let your light shine." God blesses our words. He blesses them. He rewards them. Now the Bible says in Proverbs, look back again in Proverbs chapter number 18. The Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18 verse 21. See that? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do you know more homes are destroyed by the tongue than any other thing? The tongue. More lives are wrecked. More churches are destroyed by the tongue. God says that our words have power. They bring death or they bring life. Now, the Lord Jesus said that we're going to give an account of every idle word. And the Bible says, "He that have knowledge spareth his words." I've asked God to help me to say the things that's going to bring life and not say things that's going to bring death. Now, people are going to misunderstand us. People are not going to hear everything we say. And people are certainly not going to leave and say word for word what we said. But there's one thing we can do. We can use our tongue and our words to bring life to people. There are several things that I tell folk is a daily duty for Christians. As a matter of fact, there are several things in the Bible that the Word of God says we're to do every single day. One of them, of course, is to read your Bible, search the Scriptures daily. Do you believe that's a daily duty? Come on now, do you believe that? Pray without ceasing. And every day they pray. Praying is a daily duty. Here's another one. You ready? Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Look at that verse. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. I give this verse to young ladies every time they'll ask me to sign the Bible, and I'll use my life verse, John 8, 29. And with young ladies, I always put this verse in the Bible, Hebrews 3, 13. Hebrews 3, 13. How many have that verse? How many have that verse? All right. Brother, won't you read it real loud? Hebrews 3:13. Real loud. But exhort one another daily. Every day, we ought to think of ways to encourage somebody. The Bible says we're to do that every day. Now, how do you do it? You do it with your words. But exhort one another. I learned a long time ago that a boy and a pat on the back goes a long way in the work of the Lord. Thank you. Writing notes, letting people know how much you care about them. I told you I was raised by a single mother. My father died when I was young, and I'm glad that we heard a testimony that a man led him to Christ in the final weeks of his life. I'm looking forward one day seeing him in heaven. But my mother had a tough life. When she was born, her father left her, and her mother married the town drunk. And she grew up in that home. You can only imagine what it was like. When she was 11 years old, she left home. When she's 14, she quit school, got a job, and had her own place. She's just a little tiny thing. My father was abandoned when he was 4. He was given to bootleggers and moonshiners in Alabama, and they raised him. He got in serious trouble, got put in prison. Got out of prison, met my mother, and married her and took her to Alabama. And what a marriage it was. Unbelievable. Tough. It ended in failure. She was left with 4 children. And then one day, she was working in a restaurant. She had 2 jobs. She was working in a restaurant, and a man came through and had a meal, and she waited on him. He talked to her, and he left. He came back through town, had another meal in the same restaurant, talked to her, went back to Florida and called her every day for a month, and then convinced her to marry him. She asked us, Sal wants me to marry him. What do you think? I'm going to be a senior in high school. And I was a junior. I had stayed with my grandmother 1 year. But my mother said, what do you think? And we said, where's he live? He lives in Florida. Okay. All right, Sal. So, boom. He comes up, marries her, moves the 4 of us, not my brother, my brother stayed in Tennessee, moved the 3 of us to Florida like the Beverly Hillbillies. He's one of the kindest human beings that God ever let live. Had the joy and privilege of leading him to Christ myself after I got saved, baptized, became a radiant Christian. Sal Gallardo. When he died, I helped my mother move out of the place. She didn't want to live there anymore. She wanted to live in a new place. She said, I love Pop so much, I can't go back in the house without him. But I was going out of town one day, and she called me one night before my Pop died. They both were saved. They both were serving the Lord. She said, Tommy, I just want to call you. You're going out of town. I want to tell you something. I said, okay. She said, when I was a little girl, and she told me the story about her father leaving her when she got married, when she was born, and she said, he never told me he loved me. And then she said, my mother never told me she loved me. And she said, you know, I married your father, and that was, I thank God I got you children, but what a tough time. She says, your daddy never told me one time he loved me. And she said, when your brother was born, I got on the bus and found where my father, my real father, lived and showed him his grandson. And I said, Dad, what do you think of him? And he said, it's nice, Ruby. But he said, I can't have anything to do with you now. She said, I got on a bus with your brother and went back to Alabama. She said, all I ever wanted to hear was somebody tell me they loved me. Now, every day of my life, my mother told me she loved me when I was a kid. And she said, I'm just calling you tonight. I've never told you about that. She said, because I want you to know I love you, and I'm so very proud of you, what you're doing with your life. Wow. When she died, she took 4 pictures, and she wrote each one of us a note. And she said, she knew she was dying. She said, I want you to make sure everybody gets their picture when I'm gone. And I got mine. My brother got his. Sisters got theirs. My picture says, I love you, Tommy. Thank God for you. I'm very proud of you. I'll see you in heaven, Mama, John 3:16. Wow, it's powerful. My brother's got a special note. And so when my pop died, I went over to help my mother. She had cancer. She knew her. We didn't expect Pop to die. He had a heart attack and died. We expected my mother to die, and he did too. And she died before him, and we went over and moved. And I pulled this box out from under the bed. And it was full of tickets and receipts and notes. And I said, what is this, Mother? She said, honey, I said, what is these, old bills? She said, no, look on the back. And I looked on the back, and little notes. Little notes. She says, your pop wrote me a love note every day of my life for over 30 years. Every day. Sometimes he'd give me a card. Sometimes he'd give me a piece of paper. And she said, I wouldn't take nothing for those notes. And I looked at that, and I thought, God bless her. What a powerful testimony to leave behind. I love you. The Lord Jesus said, we're going to give an account of every idle word. We are. And our words have power. They'll bring life or death. Now listen, we determine what we do with them. And the Bible says we ought to take our words every day and encourage somebody with them. The Lord Jesus said, one of these days we're going to give an account of it. Now I know I've said a lot of things that I am going to face one day. But I'm trying to put a whole lot more over in the pile that's good. Amen? And I asked God a long time ago to help me be an encourager, to strengthen God's people. If there's ever a day people need to hear a good word, it's today. Amen? Father, help us in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for being here for Sunday School Hour.